In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Well, good morning. Ecclesiastes is always a wonderful way to kick off a rainy Sunday. If you ever feel a need to be brought low and can't seem to find it in yourself to get there, I recommend to you the book of Ecclesiastes. All 12 chapters of it, you can read it in about half an hour, and you'll be left in utter despair that there will ever be anything good in the world. Most of us, if we know anything of Ecclesiastes, know the beginning of chapter 3 because the Doors put it in a song. To everything there is a purpose, a time to dance and a time not to dance. And for most people, that's sort of the good news of Ecclesiastes, right? For every bad thing that comes, there's going to be something good, and, you know, this too shall pass. Not for the author. The author is seeing it the other way around. For all these good things, there's something awful coming, and whatever good things I can do in my life, it's all going to just blow away in the wind when I'm gone, so what does it matter? It's kind of an ancient question, and it's a good one, right? It's one that we still have today. The existentialist writers and the American people have sort of taken these questions in, and the sort of general despair of meaninglessness that everyone bumps into now and then. However close we might feel to purpose in our lives, every once in a while we wonder, we doubt, we get worried that it's all going to blow away in the wind, and what's it all meant anyway, and all of those sort of big, weighty questions. So I'm going to try to get us a way out of that. And I'm going to use the sort of useful tool for getting out of questions like that, which is, of course, the gospel. Interesting little story we have, right? Jesus is sort of teaching in a crowd, and a man comes up and says something that I think is sort of a fair thing to say, right? Jesus, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. I mean, kind of from where we stand today, that seems like a fair thing to want. Even in the Bible, the sort of story of the prodigal son, we sort of know there's an inheritance for the younger son to ask for. And, you know, we would call it unfair if someone kind of hoarded up all of the inheritance just for themselves, right? I mean, this isn't a crazy idea. It's not a terrible idea. And yet, Jesus seems to call him greedy, doesn't he? He warns against all kinds of greed. Beware of all kinds of greed. And he tells a whole parable about it, about a man who had wealth and wealth and wealth, and it filled up his barns to the point that they were bursting. And what could he think to do with all of this surplus and excess and wealth? Well, he was going to tear down the barns and build bigger ones so he can hang on to all of it. Not quite what he might have been called to do. It's an out-of-season story, but I want to share something that's a big part of my love for Kansas City, which is the story of Scrooge from a Christmas Carol. Not quite timely, but very close to these readings, right? So most of us know some part of the story, but Scrooge is a man who made a lot of money with his partner Marley, and he sort of only knows to kind of go back to work and make more money. He won't use any of it, as a matter of fact. He won't let his assistant put more coal on the fire. He won't spend any of it to celebrate his family. He won't give anything to the canvassers who are trying to provide for the poor at Christmas time on the street, or the little boy who's begging in the gutter. Scrooge only is willing to kind of live in bitterness and live in the cold because, and this is a quote, cold is cheap. I mean, we sort of love to hate this man at the beginning of the play because we know something different's coming. And sure enough, Marley's ghost appears and shows him the chain that he had bound himself up by only caring about money, and tells Scrooge, you know, you've labored on your chain as many years as I did, and you've labored on yours since, so it's longer now. And while you're still on earth, while you are yet mortal, you've got a chance to change. It's much harder once you're a ghost, but right now you can do something about it. And he sends spiritual messengers, and they kind of show Scrooge more of the world, and he remembers somewhere in his heart what it is to be a human being, what it is to be in the fellowship of humanity, what it is to see the people around him. He sort of immediately becomes aware of neighbors again. He becomes aware of something spiritual in himself, and he transforms. And by the end of the play, he meets each of those characters again and sort of shares his wealth with them. But beyond just sharing his wealth, he's got something new inside himself, or something remembered inside himself. He has this joy at just being with other people, a joy of being in relationship, a joy of being able to bless them with the things that he's been blessed with. It's a different sort of story than the one that Jesus warns us about. In the gospel, all the man can think to do is build bigger barns. All he can see for his wealth is what it will do for him. I shall build bigger barns. I shall say to my soul, eat, drink, be merry. Enjoy what I have. Not a word about family, not a word about neighbors, not a word about sharing or blessing. He doesn't even want to build a civic center and put his name on it or anything. This guy is only turned into himself. He can't see the value that this gift he's been given. And remember, he's got this wealth because the land produces abundantly. This gift of creation that he's been given the stewardship of, he can't think of anything to do with except feed himself and relax by himself and be merry. And the message that we see is that if that's all the more that you can think to do with your wealth, it's not worth anything. It is indeed, as the author of Ecclesiastes discovered, simply vanity. If all you want for your wealth is that it will continue to increase, then yes, it's just something that ought to blow away on the wind when you're gone. But there's another layer to life, and that's what Jesus invites us to. Because what we do with our money, or with our gifts, or with our talents, or treasure, or time, or relationships, is certainly important. But why we do it is always going to be more important. When we can turn outside ourselves, whether we have great treasures of wealth to share or whether we have that widow's mite to offer to someone else, when we turn outside ourselves, we're stepping closer to the end of Scrooge's play than the beginning. We're looking more towards what it's like to live in that joy, that giving, that sharing, that relationship with God and one another in creation, that relationship with what's really inside ourselves, the blessing of being a human being made and beloved by God, with breath of life breathed into us by God's own Spirit. That's what we get to. That's what we move towards. That's what we step closer to when we can turn away from selfishness, when we can remember our connection to the people around us. That's the invitation of the gospel. Yes, we could lose ourselves in all the worries of the beginning of Ecclesiastes. We could worry that for all these good things, surely something terrible is coming. We could worry that whatever we build, someone else might lose it or tear it down. Or we could celebrate the fact that we've been given the chance to build it in the first place. We can celebrate the fact that God has so loved the world that he's given it to us and he's redeemed it for us, that he's put all these little possibilities boiling up from the bottom of creation into our very lives, into the choices that come up before us, the paths that spread out beneath our feet, that there's always a path that we can take that will go closer to the end of Scrooge's play, a path that leads us closer to the kingdom of heaven that Jesus looks towards and anticipates and starts to give us examples to follow that we might get there too. That's the good news. That's a teaching worth responding to with the words, "Thanks be to God." It always feels a little funny to say that after Ecclesiastes, I think. But we have a fuller story. We have a story of redemption and love and the gifts of grace and blessing. We have Jesus' own example of how we can turn from ourselves, from our own pain and suffering, the burdens that we bear and carry, and focus on the fact that we're given them to carry so that we can be blessing to each other. Whatever we go through it together, and we go through it in ways that let us learn from them and be of greater service to each other. Whatever comes in our life, the good and the bad, it's given to us as a way of increasing our holiness and a way of continuing to make the choice for God and for each other, to love one another as Jesus has loved us. You've got those choices in your life. You've got those paths springing up beneath your feet constantly, abundantly, each and every day, in every relationship, in every choice, in every opportunity. There's a way to do it that is kingdom-oriented. There's a way to do it that makes use of the best that's in you. There's a way to do it that opens your heart more to the possibilities of joy and giving and blessing. And if you start looking for it, you'll find it more and more easily. Because taking that path once makes it easier to take it again. Seeing and meeting Jesus on that journey once makes it easier to realize that he's with us each and every day. Taking those steps make it easy to build up the muscles that take those steps, the emotional and spiritual ones that bear us down those paths. And as you go, you'll find that you meet other people that need your help and example too, and that you can start showing them how it is you're living. May you find those opportunities this week in the midst of whatever life brings you. Wherever you are on your spiritual journey, may you find that moment of prayer and attention that shows you the next step, shows you the next path, whatever that needs to mean for you. And may you meet Jesus there, because he's always waiting to greet us in love and encouragement and expectation. All these things I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.